Okay. First of all, I made a mistake on the quiz. So question six, I referred to the wrong slide. So basically, just ignore question six. You'll get credit for it. Everybody gets credit for question six. Just ignore it. And also, because of the electricity problem, I've extended the quiz due date till Thursday so that you can pass it in up till Thursday. It was due tonight at midnight. We'll make it Thursday at midnight because there were enough people that didn't have power. Okay. Next thing I want to look at is the logic PowerPoint assignment, and I want to look at that quickly. So the first slide, this is the data. So you have a file or a table of data that has an item number, item name, on hand, on order, etc. So that's the data that you're going to be working with for this program. Okay, so the next assignment basically goes into writing a program.
Are you going to pass in the assignment, this assignment, next Thursday or the week after?
The week after. You don't have to pass anything in during break.
Okay.
It's all, anything I give today, it's like next week doesn't exist.
Okay.
So anything I give today for homework or this week for homework is due the week after a break. Okay? So break that week just doesn't happen. Okay? So I started out and I said, I want to produce a report using the logic shown. The report should contain item number, item name, price, cost, and profit. Profit is the difference between price and cost. So I start out. And it says initializing read, read a record. So initializing read, remember, reads the first record and only the first record. It's kind of like priming the pump. It's getting started. So I initializing read, I read the record. If it is successful, then it's not end of file. If that read is unsuccessful and there wasn't any data there, then it is end of file and I just stop, okay? But because I was able to read a record, it's not end of file. So then I calculate the profit, okay? Cost was 75, price was 20, 95.89. So the profit is 20.89, okay? 75 from 95, yeah.
So you don't actually need to put EOF into your table?
No.
If there's nothing there, it knows.
Right. It will, when the tables get written, they put a marker. If it's Access, there's a marker that Access puts there. If it's Oracle, it's a marker that Oracle puts there. So they put in an end of file indicator. So I then say, set up the line for the report, meaning get it ready, and write the line. So the line I'm going to write is going to be 1111 oak, and then I said write the price, so that's 95.89. Write the cost, that's 75. Write the profit, that's 20.89. Okay, so I write it out. Then I redirect it. So at that point, I drop down and I read the next record. And the next record is Red Maple. And when I calculate the profit for that, it is $17.99. So I now have $17.99. Okay, that's going to be in a memory variable. That's kind of an area in memory that was set up to hold the profit. So I have an area in memory set up to hold the profit, and now it's going to have $17.99 in it. Then I say, okay, now set up the line, meaning get, prepare it, write the line. So I'm writing 1212, Red Maple, 117.99, 100, and 17.99. And then it says, read the next record. Okay, so always I read just before I go back, because I did the initializing read, because the first record. I process the first record. When I write it out, it's all set, so I read the next record and then immediately check, was that read successful? If it was, I process the record. If it wasn't successful, I drop through and stop. But I always read and then check to see if the read was successful. Okay, so that's the processing that I'm doing. So this one, when you do this, you're going to write out a report like that, and that's the first two things that I put on the report. Okay. Then we're moving on to the second one. And in the second one, the next problem two, I asked if there's any difference between the output. Is there any difference between this one and the first one? Huh? Yeah, no. Basically what I did here is, this is a module or a subroutine, whatever you want to call it like that. And what it basically does is say, go out here, do this, when you're done, come back. So that just goes out, does the processing. When you're done, you come back. As long as it's not in the file, you process again. Notice again the initializing read, and all the other records are read from here. Okay, all the other records are read from here. So, you now got the points for this if you just write out a good explanation of that. Okay, and then we're going to move on to number three. And at number three, okay, now I'm starting to ask questions. And so you're going to go in, and in processing, your first question is going to be, is on hand greater than 25? If it is, I write it out and then read another record. If on hand is not greater than 25, I do nothing and then read another record. So the first one, when I read the first record and I go and look, on hand is 5. So does that appear on my report or not?
No.
No. That doesn't appear on my report. The next one I read was 26. Is that going to appear on my report?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So the rest of it is going through and doing things like this. And after I do it for a while with flowcharts, I do it for a while with pseudocode. So you can look at the pseudocode and make the determination. This one says if on hand is greater than 25 and price is greater than 75. So I'm looking for both of those to be true. And if they're both true, then I write. Okay, otherwise I have no else, meaning I have nothing to do if those aren't true. I drop out and I read another record. Okay. Okay, so that is the homework assignment. And Yes.
So you just basically want the report line. We don't have to do the whole pseudocode.
No, you just have to tell me the report. Okay. Produce this report. So you have to give me the report that would come out. You're playing computer, basically.
And now for the ones that have the module or subroutine, how does it know if it is EOF or not, if the check for EOF is outside?
Because it just keeps going back.
It just always
okay, wait a minute. Let me get one of them up, the one we looked at. This one. Okay, so it goes out, and notice in process comes back to the same place where it left. It goes out and does it, comes back, and then checks for not in the file. But right before I came back, I read a record. And so I've just gone out and attempted to read a record, whether I'm successful or not, I've tried it. And I've come back, and now I'm checking not in the file, so it's telling me, was that read successful or not? Okay? So basically, it is really like taking this stuff and just putting it there. Okay, but I have a module kind of to break up the code a little bit and make it not all one big overwhelming thing. Yeah.
So what's the difference between problem 7 and 8?
I'm not telling. That's what I want you to figure out. So I'm not telling. But it was a good try.
Basically, it's not a trick.
It's not a trick. It's just one that I want you to be sure to go through.
Yeah.
Okay, so now what we're going to do is we've been looking at logic for a while, and we're going to actually start writing a program. And we'll keep looking at logic as we go, but now we're going to start mixing it in with writing a program. And the language that we're going to start using is JavaScript. And JavaScript is a pain in the neck, okay? Because it doesn't give you good diagnostics about errors. It just gives you a screen of death and says, good luck.
Go fix it.
Go fix it. And good luck to you. Later on in the semester, we're looking at Visual Basic, which very nicely tells you the error and puts squiggly red lines under the things that were wrong and everything else. So we will get to that. And that is a less frustrating experience, shall we say. Okay, so we're going into programs and we're going to scroll down to JavaScript, which is the second group of programs. And we're going to start looking at those. So go into, over on the side, pick programs, and then, whoops. And then under programs, scroll down to get JavaScript. So the first one that I'm looking at is hello.html, okay? I am doing this in Firefox. I recommend that you do it in Firefox. So I would open Firefox and do it there. And I should have said that before I went over to it. I've got some pop-ups because they're easy to use to illustrate things. And Chrome and Explorer, etc., get sometimes touchy about pop-ups. Firefox lets them go through a little bit better, so I just think you'll find it less frustrating if you use Firefox, but you can use whatever you want. So, the results of this is I've got two things up here. I've got the word hello world written there, and I've got a pop-up that says hello world. Okay, now we all know pop-ups are obnoxious, but that's what I've got. And one of my recorders just decided it needed a battery, so I'm going to give it a battery. I recorded on 2 so that hopefully it works. But if the second one gives out a little bit later, I'd be in trouble. So. Come on, you can do it. Okay. So now I click on the OK and it goes away. And notice the background actually changed. It did that. And then I come in and I right click on here and click View Page Source. View Page Source shows me the code. Okay, so I'm clicking on View Page Source so that I can see the code. Okay, so I started out and I just have HTML up at the top and it's red because I don't have anything else like Doctype and everything else, so it's yelling at me, but that's fine, it works. So I've got HTML up here. Then I said script type equals text JavaScript. Okay. The browser has JavaScript in it. All of the browsers have JavaScript embedded in them. However, the browsers are expecting HTML, and I have to tell them switch over and use JavaScript for a few minutes. So the way I tell it that is to say script type equals text JavaScript. And that switches me over to JavaScript.
I have the same problem. Click on OK first.
Which one?
I crossed it.
I was trying to open up the source code. It doesn't work on the main page.
Huh?
It doesn't work on the main page.
You have to pop up and I was trying to...
Okay, yeah. No, you have to get rid of the pop-up first. Okay. So then you do get rid of the pop-up and do view page source. Okay, so now within the JavaScript, it starts there with script and ends with close script. So within the JavaScript, I am telling it something to do. Now, the reason we like and need JavaScript is that HTML is not a language. It can ask questions. It can't do loops. HTML can't. JavaScript can, and so when I bring over JavaScript, I buy a lot of power. These first few examples are not showing you that power, okay? I'm saying document write, which means write on the screen. Well, I know how to do that in HTML, so why am I learning JavaScript again? And the reason is because we will get to the point where we can ask questions and respond to them, and we can do loops. And remember, the three things that you have to be able to do in programming is sequence, go down one instruction at a time, selection or decisions, and loops. Those are the three things that a programming language has to support. So now I get here, and the next thing it says is document write. The document is the screen, okay, minus the top and the bottom parts of the bars, but the open screen that I can write on. So I am saying document and do the write function. Write on it. What do I want to write? I want to write whatever is in the parenthesis. What's in the parenthesis? The literal hello world. So I want to write the literal hello world. And since it's a literal, I enclose it in quotes. Okay, so since it's a literal, I'm enclosing it in quotes. If I didn't have the quotes around it, it would go looking for something that I called hello, data name that I called hello. And we'll see more of that as we're going along. So this does a write function within the parenthesis is what I want to write. and I want to write it on the document. Okay? Then the next one is the pop-up. The alert gave me the pop-up. And again, it was an alert function within the parentheses. I told it what I wanted it to put in the pop-up. So there it's hello world, and it came up in the pop-up, and it came up on document write. And then I close the script, and I close the HTML, and I'm all done. Okay, so that's a very simple HTML JavaScript. Okay. So now the next one is a multiply. So I'm saying I want to multiply two numbers together. So this time the pop-up is asking for data. Okay, so I'm going to give it a 6. And once I've given it a 6, I'm going to say, whoops. I'm not going to say whoops, I'm saying whoops because that didn't work. Okay. So I'm saying okay, and it asks for a second number, and I'm going to give it a 4. And I click OK, and it comes back with 24. So 6 times 4 is 24. Okay. Now if I right-click and do a view page source, here is the code that went with that. Okay. So on this one, the first thing I did is I set up a bunch of memory variables, okay? So that means I have in memory a field called answer. I have in memory another field called firstNum. And I have in memory another field called secondNum. So I am telling JavaScript that I wanted to set up 3 work areas called variables, okay? And I want them to set these variables up in memory. When the program is done and the code is done, those variables will not be accessible, but they are accessible and usable within the code, okay? So, then I say, I've set up a variable answer and I want to give it an initial value of 0. My first num variable, I want to give an initial value of 0. My second num variable, I want to give an initial value of 0. Okay? So I've set those up in memory. Now, I don't know where in memory the computer has chosen to put it. Okay? But as long as I refer to those names within this program, it can find them. Yeah?
In JavaScript, should we be trying to use single quotes still?
No. Single quotes as in?
Like for enter the first number. Remember how we shouldn't use the double before?
Right.
I don't know if that was something.
No, the single, the double works here fine.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm now saying, okay, put up a prompt. So a prompt is another kind of pop-up, but this is one that asks for data. So I'm saying prompt, enter the first number. And then I have a 0 here. The box, when it came up for me to enter something in it, was started with a 0, had a 0 in it. If I just hit enter, the number would have been 0, okay? So I put that 0 there just to give it a starting point. So if I prompt it, and I prompted it, and I put in a 6, the 6 got assigned a first number. So first number now changes from a 0 to a 6. That's a variable because it can vary, okay? And then I prompt for second num, and I gave it a 4, and so it puts a 4 there. Okay, so it now has put those because I assigned these answers to first num. This is an assignment sign. You would have spent a lot of years thinking it was an equal sign. You're wrong. It's an assignment sign. Okay? In JavaScript, it's an assignment sign, which means that I am assigning something. In this case, I'm assigning 0 to answer, 0 to first num, 0 to second num. I put in a prompt. Whatever they enter gets assigned the first num. Whatever they enter gets assigned a second one. Okay. It's not an equal sign, and one of the ways you can do that is if I write this, and I call that an equal sign, it's wrong. Count is not equal to count plus one. But what this says is, take count, add one to it, and assign it back to count. So if count started out as a 0, take count, add 1 to it, it's now, and assign it back to count, it's now a 1. Take count as a 1, add 1 to it, assign it back to count, it's now a 2. Take count, add 1 to it, assign it back to count, it's now a 3. Okay? So that's why it's called an assignment sign, is it takes what is on the right, does the calculation, and assigns it to what's on the left. Okay. So now I've assigned the data, and now it says answer equals first num times second num. So it takes and it multiplies 6 by 4, it gets 24, and it puts it in the answer. And then I say, now document right answer. And so answer now gets written up there. Okay, answer. I keep forgetting, I can't do that with the drawing. Okay, so answer gets assigned, has picked up rather, the 24, because the result of doing the multiplication was assigned answer. And then I said document write answer. Okay, now notice there are no quotes around that. That's the variable. And when I put the variable in parentheses, it is saying write the content of answer, whatever is in answer. Well, the content of answer is 24, so it writes the 24. If I put answer in quotes there, what do you think you would see?
Just Anna.
That's right. If it was in quotes there, it would have said, okay, show me that literal, and it would have written out as the answer ANS.
If you put the quotes around the first ANS?
If you put it around the ANS inside the document right. If I put quotes around this ANS, then when it did a document right, it would write the word ANS, or the semi-word. Notice the other thing. At the end of every line, I have a semicolon. Okay? And that's a thing that is done in JavaScript to indicate the end of a command. So at the end of every line, I have a semicolon that indicates the end of the command. Questions? Okay, the next one. Is pretty much the same as this one. Enter the numbers, so I'll enter 6 and 4 again. And now it is writing out the answer is. So the only difference between this and the other one is what I am writing. So I am saying write a literal. Write the answer is. The collar is a separator. So I'm separating. And then answer is write the variable. Okay, the content of. So here I'm doing the document write, and I'm writing out the word the answer is, and then I am putting a separator, and then I'm writing out the content of answer. Now notice the after the is, quote, notice there's a space in there between the S and the quote. That space buys me the space up here. If I hadn't put that space in, the 24 would be right up against the S. Okay, so if I want a space there, I can put in the space by just leaving it within the literal, which means it writes the answer is space, and then it puts in the 24. Okay. Yeah.
So is it safe to say that any literal needs to be put into quotes?
Yes. Any non-numeric. We'll get into others. Okay, so now what I want to do is when I write this in Notepad, just like you wrote your HTML. So I write it in Notepad, then I save it with the .html extension, and then I load it. So I test it by bringing it up just like I brought up my HTML. So we're doing it the same way that you did HTML. So now what I want is for everybody to write something similar to this. You can try a divide, which is a slash. You can try a subtract. Don't try an add. We'll look at an add in a few minutes, but an add is complicated. Okay, so try something else. But try going into Notepad, writing something, saving it, and then running it. Yeah?
How do you feel about Notepad++ for this?
That's fine. Notepad is kind of the generic for either name.
I just knew for, you said HTML, sometimes it messes you up.
I don't know why I have the habit of writing in HTML, but I probably shouldn't. HTML++, I mean Notepad++ is probably the preference, should be my preference. Part of the reason I don't like it is it gives me too many choices. And I have to go back and find which choice I want with 25,000 choices there. And that's a stupid reason not to like it, but anyway.
You want to do it on your own. You
right.
Need somebody to hold your hand.
No, it's just I don't want to read until I find it.
Yeah, I'd rather just take it out myself. I've been using Notepad.
So go ahead and get a program running in the next 5 or 10 minutes. You can do something very similar to mine. You can do something identical to mine, except don't copy and paste and say I did it. If you have questions or problems, that's what Lindsay and I are here for. Don't just sit staring at the screen, ask questions.
I was gonna add in a third num and have it.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Num instead.
Yeah.
Am I going to have to put in like an extra set of parentheses? Or should it just know that you multiply before you subtract?
Mathematics. So it would do the multiply first and
okay.
The minus second. It follows the hierarchy of math.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing to do. He said he's going to take in a third number. So taking in a third number and then having the answer, multiply them all together or multiply two is subtract something or do a divide or whatever. I haven't taken attendance for a while. I think I'll do that today. Want to take that and start it? Just so I can figure out who's coming and who isn't.
So if you wanted it to divide first, then multiply.
It will follow the rules of math, so that will mean it will work from left to right, and multiply and divide are on the same level. So it's whichever it encounters first, going left to right. The order of operations. So multiplication and division are done before addition and subtraction. Anybody got it working?
Yep.
Good. Uppercase and lowercase and that sort of thing. If you're having trouble with pop-ups, Firefox is the friendliest pop-up.
I wonder if there's a way to display what I entered. That way, if someone wants to check their math.
Sure. You'll have to do a document write, and put out first num and do a document write and put out second num. That's single.
Okay, so on another line.
Because what you ended is in first num and second num.
Yeah.
So you can write out.
Document dot write.
Right.
And then put in parentheses. First num, right? Because then it would tell me what I inputted.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Are you trying to do an equation?
And you can write out a line that puts the whole problem in, where you say first num, and then a comma, and then inside quotes put a multiply sign, and then comma, and then the second num.
Okay, so in the parentheses, I could put all of them.
Yeah.
And then in between, put whatever symbol.
Yeah, the comma is my separator.
Okay.
Want to grab the attendance thing?
Yeah.
I think it's fine. Oh no, he's got it. All right.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to come up here.
It's always a semicolon or something small.
You can just go to the
yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, no,
it's not bad when it's that, but like if you have 300 lines of code.
Which is a lot better if you check it every 20 lines.
Yeah, exactly.
Which part?
Is there a space between the prompts?
Yes.
Can I use the assignment sign
yes.
in my display?
Yep, as long as it's in quotes so that it knows it's a literal as opposed to one that it should act on. Thank you.
Is there a space before the semicolon?
What's some? No.
First num and second. Okay.
No.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, mine's not popping up anymore since I added the extra document. Not right.
Yes. Oh. Okay. So document dot write.
Does the parentheses need to be in quotes?
Wait a minute. Let me get. Okay, there's this code. Okay, so we want to write out document write and put in something else. So if you say document.write, helps if I spell it right. And then first num.
Then I did space.
And then a comma is a separator.
Yep, I need to.
And then a quote, asterisk, quote.
For the symbol.
Okay, I will be there in a minute, folks whose hands are up. I'm answering this question, and then I will be there.
On the final quote, would the
don't want
equal
to
sign,
right now
do I need a comma at the very end?
Wait, no.
That's why she's going to write it right now. Okay.
So avoid it right now.
I have nothing to display.
It's not displaying?
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to do that second, you could put that whole part in parentheses. You know what I mean? The second, yeah.
Oh, first number times second on my thing.
Yeah, that'd be probably dropped a little bit.
Okay, so there is, I wrote out.
Need an extra space.
Okay. Somebody asked about how I could write the formula, and I can write the formula like that. Now, I've got two lines, and I really don't want it on the two lines. So I can put in here.
Pretty much copy paste to a T, just added the.
You're missing a double quote before the beginning there, because it's a literal. So before the Y, you know?
Okay.
Singular double.
Some people asked about how you could write out the formula. I can write first num, the comma separator, then the literal asterisk inside quotes. So I have the literal asterisk.
Check all here. All of them say check all here.
Then a comma. Then second num.
Is there supposed to be a space?
And then I want to skip down the line so I can put a comma and then say put in a break there. And the BR there is enclosed in quotes. So it sends it down to the browser. And the browser says, oh, you want me to skip a line? And it does. So you can see it up there like that. So if you want to write the formula in, that is a way that you can do it.
I know it's something small, but
yeah.
Okay. And so how many people have got something working? Okay, then we're gonna move on and take a look at the next thing.
Was it enough?
Yeah, no.
The frickin' frick.
Oh, you see it as a text file, you have to store it as HTML.
Frickin'
text.
Yeah.
The two C's.
Okay.
I'm swiping on my profile. No fricks, no cats.
Okay.
The Christian sticker.
Okay, the next one I'm going to look at is add num. So bring up add nums, please. Okay, let's pay attention for a minute and then you can go back, but don't talk for a few minutes. Okay, so now I'm doing add num.html. So again, I'm going to use a 6 and a 4. And notice what I got. I got 64 and I got 10. Okay. So the problem is, come on, there we go. The problem is that the plus sign has two meanings. The plus can mean add, and the plus can mean concatenate. And the concatenate means put two things together next to each other as one. Concatenate them together as one. So the plus sign has two meanings, which means that I've got problems. Okay? So I prompted for two numbers. And I said the two numbers were going to be, again, 6 and 4. Then it said first num plus second num, assign it to answer. The problem is that it chose to concatenate. So it chose to concatenate, and I got the answer when I did a document write. I got the answer 64, because it concatenated them together. Okay, so the default for the browsers are to concatenate. If I don't want them to concatenate, then I have to convince them that it's a number. And if I convince them it's a number, then they'll add. So one of the ways to convince them a number is to say pass float and then put first num in parentheses. So I'm doing the pass float function on first num. Pass float is decimal. Pi is like a decimal. A floating number is a decimal number. And then I said pass float second. Notice also that the F on float is capitalized, okay? JavaScript is incredibly case sensitive. So if I made that a lowercase f, I would get the screen of death. Okay, so it doesn't like that. Pass float convinces the browser it's a number. And so it does the add, and I get 10. And then when I write out other answer, because other answer is the 10, I get that one. So I had to convince it was a number before it would do an add. Now the other thing is I have three document writes here. The first document write says the answer is answer. The next document write says write out a BR. So what this does is the quotes here make it a literal. It sends the literal, which is the BR with the less than and greater than signs. So it sends down what is effectively a tag to the browser. The browser looks at it and says, I know what that tag means, and it skips a line. Okay? So I wrote this line, then I skip a line. That BR skips a line, and then I wrote the next line. Okay? So I wrote the next line after it. Okay, so that BR sent down to the browser the fact that it wanted to skip a line. Questions? Yeah.
How does the computer know what BR stands for? Like,
because I've already told the browser that I'm in HTML, and the browser knows that BR is a tag in HTML. It's not just sending down the BR. It's sending down the less than BR greater than. And the browser recognizes that within HTML as a tag. Okay? So it recognizes that that is a legitimate HTML tag, and we are in HTML. Okay? So it recognizes it as a tag. Okay, so when I'm doing an add, I have to do the parse float, or if you look at the next one, wait a minute, where did I go? The next one is add num continued. And so I'm doing, again, the 6 and the 4, and now I'm getting a variety of answers. Whoops. Okay, so the first one did the just first num plus second num, write it out, and I got the 64. Okay, so this first answer is 64, and when I did a document write, I got it. The next one is the pass float. And the pass float, when it adds, gets the 10. And so the document write is going to write out the 10. Then there's a third way of doing it. Okay? So I can do pass float. I can also use, and actually I didn't do it on this one, but I can also use pass int if I'm dealing with integers, whole numbers. If I'm dealing with whole numbers and I don't care about decimals, I can use parse int. If I care about decimals, I use pass float. Then I can use a plus. Okay, and you can see it here, plus, and the number is in parentheses. So always the number is going inside the parentheses. But the plus there will also convince the browser that it's a number. And the fourth way of doing it is to write the word number and put whatever it is in parentheses, and it also convinces that it's a number. So basically, you can pick the kind of approach you want to take, but you have to convince the browser that you've got numbers before it will do an add. And those are four different ways that you can convince the browser that it's numbers. Okay? Yes?
I don't get why using a plus sign at the end worked, but before it didn't.
Say that again?
Before you used the plus sign and it concatenated them.
Right, and I did up here.
Yes.
This one concatenates.
But on the bottom it worked fine. Is that because you put first num in parentheses?
That's right.
Okay.
Because I put in extra pluses. That's really the plus.
I see.
So these are just saying somehow they decided that if I put a plus and then put it in parentheses,
that
will tell it that it's a number.
Okay.
Probably not the way I would have chosen, but...
Just another option.
Just another option. Okay. The next one is math answer. So I'm entering the first number is 6, the second number is 4, and now it is asking me, do you want to multiply or divide? Okay, so it's asking me that. Do you want to multiply or divide? So I'm going to pick asterisks. So I'm going to multiply. Okay, so I've put in an asterisk there. And I say okay, and it comes up with the answer is 24. Okay, so now we're getting into the if statement. And this is giving a lot of power now, we're starting to see, to JavaScript, because I can ask a question and respond to that question. So here I said, if what to do equals an asterisk. Now notice how I ask that question. I say if, and then I put my question inside parentheses. There's another thing going on there. Notice the two equal signs. So a single equal sign is an assignment sign. A double equal sign is an equal sign. Bet you didn't know that. Okay, so double equal sign is an equal sign. So what I'm doing here is saying if what to do equals asterisks. Now the problem is if I just put one equal sign there, it says assign asterisks to what to do. But it doesn't ask the question. So I have to have a double equal sign. So I'm saying if what to do is equal to an asterisk, the answer is yes, and I am going to do a multiply. If it is no, then I'm going to do a divide. Now notice how it works. I ask the if what to do equals inside parentheses. Then what I want to do if it's true are enclosed in curly braces. And then I have an else. And what I want to do if it's false are enclosed in curly braces. So I can list a whole lot of things if I want to do if it's true, and a whole lot of things to do if it's false. I only happen to want to do one thing.
Okay.
But the true and the false actions are enclosed in curly braces. And this is kind of a standard in a lot of languages, the C languages and the Java languages. Now, looking at this logic, what happens if I enter a Z? It asks me for an asterisk or a slash. What happens if I enter a Z? It'll do a divide. Okay? Because the only question I asked was, if it's an asterisk, do a multiply. Otherwise, do a divide. I didn't ask if it was a slash. I just said if it's not an asterisk, do a divide. So anything that I hit on the keyboard will cause it to do a divide. Okay? Not particularly good code. So what we're going to do now is take that code and put it in an editor. And change it. Whoops. Here we are. Okay, so I want to ask if what to do is equal to an asterisk, do a multiply. Else, I want to ask another question. So what I want to have, if it's an asterisk, do a multiply. If not, I want to ask, is it a slash? And if it is, I want to do a divide. Otherwise, I want to either put a zero or problem or something in that I got the wrong thing. So this is what I want to have. Such that if it's not a divide, I let it know that I've got a problem. Okay, so that's what I wanted to do. So if I come over here and start looking at the code, I want to have an else, and I want to ask a question here. And the question that I want to ask is, if what to do is equal to a slash. Okay, so that's the question I want to ask. Notice, and I should have said this before, notice there's no semicolon at the end of the if statement. And the reason is that the command isn't done. Okay, the if statement isn't complete. And so they decided that they would not put a semicolon there because that would indicate it was complete. And it lets the curly braces take care of. Okay, so now I have, if what to do is equal to a slash, then I want to do the divide. Okay, so if what to do is equal to a slash, I want to do the divide. Else, I want to make answer equal to zero, or to the word problem, I can say answer equals zero there, or I could have said answer equals the word problem. Yeah.
Would the if, or what to do, would have a closed bracket itself?
Let me finish and then see if you still have a question, okay? Because I'm not sure exactly what you're asking. Okay, so now I'm going to close this. And then I need to also close the else. So notice what I did with these curly braces, and then you can ask. I said, okay, if what to do is equal to an asterisk, I want to do what's inside those curly braces. Else, and I just put in the wrong kind of curly brace down there. There we go. Else, I want to do this. Okay, else I want to do that, which is asking another question. Okay. So within that, I'm asking if what to do equals a slash, do this, else do this. So notice every open curly brace has a closed curly brace. And one of the things I do when I'm doing this is I count. One open, two open, three open, four open. One close, two close, three close, four close. If they're the same, then that means that maybe I got it right, because I need to have every open have a close. Okay, so that's how I set it up. Okay, now, does that answer your question, or if not, I'll ask it again. Okay. Okay, so I've got this set up. If what to do equals a slash, then I do a divide. Else, I made answer a zero. And as I said, I could have said else equals problem and put it in quotes. Okay? So wait just a minute, because we're going to run this.
Yeah, that's fine.
Do you want to save the changes to untitled? I'm getting nervous now.
You just need to name it.
Yeah, no, I thought I was taking a picture of the screen.
Oh.
So maybe I hit the wrong thing. Yes, now I took a picture of the screen. Okay. So now I can save it. File, save as multdiv.html. Okay, so it's multiply divide.html. And I saved it. And so now I'm going to come back over here, and I'm going to open that. So file, open file. Multiply, divide. Okay, so end of the first number is 6. End of the next number, I'll make it 3. And hit a asterisk, and it tells me 18. So that's fine. Now I'm going to go back and I'm going to say end of the first number, so 6, end of the second number, 3, enter a slash, and it is now doing the divide. 6 divided by 3 is 2. Okay, so one time more I want to go back. That's not what I want. As usual, I've got too many things open. So I'm going to go back, and I went too far back. Okay, so I'm going to redo this, and I'm going to enter a 6 and a 3 and a Z. So I'm entering the Z, and it is coming up and saying the answer is 2. Not good.
You're on math answer.
Oh, thank you. I opened the wrong one. Thank you for keeping track of me. Open file. I need to find math, multiply, divide. Test, no. What did I call it? Multivide. Okay. So now I'm entering 6. I'm entering 3. And I am entering a Z. And it comes back, the answer is 0. And if I had written in there the word problem in quotes, it would have come back and said problem. And if I had said, please enter an asterisk or a slash, it would have come back and said that. So I can put anything I want. Okay, so this is the setup to do that. Okay. Questions?
I'm trying to figure out why mine won't run. I'm checking my curly braces. I don't see any commas that I'm supposed to put.
Yep, the curly braces handle telling it the end of the if statement. Does it based on the curly braces? Questions?
I know my tabs are
over. Okay. We have 3 minutes to go. It's not worth doing the next problem, so we're done.
That, you don't want to close off your if you ever disturb it. So that curly brace right there. No,